Ketchikan city government has tried for many years and still is trying to avoid building an expensive filtration plant, but it's getting harder as federal regulations related to disinfection byproducts get more stringent. In addition, the city's raw water source, Ketchikan Lakes, has been testing above allowed levels for the bacteria coliform. Coliform is destroyed by the city's treatment process, but the Environmental Protection Agency still requires untreated water to test below a certain level in unfiltered systems. If the city can't figure out how to get the levels down, it's going to have to filter. So the city council recently asked for a report on options for filtration systems. Water division manager John Kleiniger's response has two options. One is a conventional filtration plant, which could cost an estimated $35 million. Then there is a relatively new technology, membrane microfiltration.
Basically, from my standpoint, it's a possibility, and we would certainly want to study it.
Membrane microfiltration is not cheap by any means, but the basic equipment for such a system is not too bad compared to the conventional filtration plant. Hard numbers aren't yet available, but here's a rough idea.
The cost just for the microfiltration equipment themselves is about $1 per gallon, and we need to have the capability of providing at our peak season about 9.5 million gallons per day.
So, $9.5 million. That doesn't include the yet unknown cost of a building to house the equipment, pumps to run it, or the potential cost related to all the stuff that the membrane takes out of the water. Testing will be needed to figure that out.
We would probably take raw water and run it through a membrane filtration cell and just see how much particulate matter we would create, and from that you could make an estimate that the particulate matter that you captured, could it be returned to the sewer, or will we have to dispose of it in some other manner, which adds greatly to the cost.
Incineration would be the likely manner of disposal if the filtered matter can't be added to the sewer system. Another bonus to membrane microfiltration rather than conventional filtration is that it would take up less space. It could be built on property the city already owns, right next to the new chloramination water treatment facility. Speaking of chloramination, which has been controversial, Kleiniger says that filtration won't necessarily mean an end to that kind of disinfection.
The water that we're passing through the membrane filtration, is it going to remove the dissolved organics? The answer is probably not. We have to use chlorine for the elimination of viruses. And if we have dissolved organics and we add chlorine, well, we're going to make haloacetic acids.
The city's water has tested above allowed levels for EPA-regulated byproducts such as haloacetic acids for many years, which is why the city opted to build its new chloramine disinfection system. Chloramine is a mixture of chlorine and ammonia. That kind of system requires less chlorine, and chlorine is what creates the regulated byproducts when it comes in contact with organic material. Kleiniger says there are additional chemicals involved in filtration systems. Coagulants, for example.
They're charged particles. You create them with a mixture of polymers and alum, and then that way you're able to capture, hopefully, the things like dissolved organics.
And while some people are worried about the health effects of chloramine in the water, Kleiniger says the chemicals related to filtration have their own set of concerns.
Alum contains aluminum. Aluminum is a suspect chemical in, say, Alzheimer's.
So, it's all a trade-off. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.